Chapter 6. The Meeting Place. If the Israelite nation had kept up a decent pace and taken a direct route, they would probably have reached the borders of Canaan, the Promised Land, in less than a month. As it was, it took them 40 years. Yes, that long. We won't go into all the ins and outs of why, but for a start they took a roundabout route. And they suffered all manner of delays, chiefly as a result of unrest and mutiny within the community. It's astonishing that God stuck with them, as their behaviour at times was enough to try even the divine patience. But stick with them he did. That's because of the kind of God he is, always longing for close fellowship with people and displaying amazing forbearance with their frustratingly childish ways. And that leads us to Signpost 5, God's People. There's nothing like adversity to bring people together. The slavery in Egypt had done that for the Israelites. By the time they left for the Promised Land, they felt themselves very much to be a distinct people. Adversity had united them for sure. But the amazing events leading up to their liberation had further strengthened that sense of unity under God who had delivered them. A couple of months into their travels, the time came for that unity under God to be ratified. By this time they were near Mount Sinai. It was there that God gave Moses the moral guidelines that would keep them in line with his will for them. We call them the Ten Commandments. They covered the fundamentals of the people's relationship with God and their relationships with each other. In addition, there was a whole raft of more detailed legislation. It covered aspects of life like the treatment of servants, liability for personal injuries, the protection of property such as flocks and herds, the keeping of the Sabbath, annual religious festivals, and much more. It all ensured that the people had a solid framework within which to order their lives and live in peace and justice. The nation formally accepted responsibility for keeping all these requirements. This took place in a solemn ceremony in which they undertook to accept and obey God's laws. "We will do everything the Lord has said," they declared. "We will obey." It was the making of a covenant, that is, a formal agreement between them and God. Animal blood was shed and sprinkled on the people to drive the message home. They would live in line with his laws, and he would undertake to look after them and bless them insofar as they did so. They were now Israel indeed, the people of God, as never before, united under his rule and governed by his laws. Remember that as we move on to Signpost 6, the Tabernacle. One way God expressed his longing to be close to his people was through the tabernacle, so you need to know what this was. Sometimes it was called the Tent of Meeting, where God and his people could meet. In short, it was a portable place of worship. It had to be portable because the Israelites were a people on the move. It consisted of hooked poles, curtains, and removable coverings that could be packed away and carried whenever the nation struck camp, then reassembled at the next stopping place. It was always put up in the centre of the camp, with the 12 tribes pitching their tents on all four sides. This was symbolic, showing that God's presence belonged at the very heart of the nation's life. And God was happy to make his presence felt there. Indeed, when its initial construction was finished, he showed up there in an awesomely tangible way. What an astonishing thing! God in a tent. There were three zones in the tabernacle. The outer zone was an open area, surrounded by a wall of curtains, but open to the sky. Here was located an altar where animal sacrifices could be offered by the priests. Any Israelite could enter this area. Inside this zone, towards one end, was a covered area divided into two further zones. The first was called the Holy Place and contained various items of portable religious furniture, including a small table-like altar where incense could be burned and a seven-branched lampstand. These articles all had symbolic meaning that need not bother us here. Only members of Israel's priesthood were permitted to enter this area. At one end of this zone was a curtain, behind which was the third zone, the most holy place, sometimes called the Holy of Holies. Inside it was just one item of furniture, the Ark of the Covenant. This was a gold-covered wooden box containing the stone slabs on which were engraved the Ten Commandments. On top of the ark were two carved angelic figures, also gold-covered, with their wingtips touching over the centre of the top of the box. This central spot, sometimes called the Atonement Cover or the Mercy Seat, was perceived to be where God placed what we might call his localized presence. This is an important signpost. God in the tabernacle amid his pilgrim people. An annual event inside the Holy of Holies is our next signpost. Signpost 7, the Day of Atonement. Access to the Holy of Holies was even more restricted than to the holy place. Only the high priest himself could go through the curtain, and that only once a year, on the day of a religious festival called the Day of Atonement, or in Hebrew, Yom Kippur. It was the biggest day in the religious calendar. The people would gather at the tabernacle, hushed as the sacred moment drew near. The high priest, dressed in his ceremonial robes, would offer several animal sacrifices before approaching the curtain that marked the entrance to the Holy of Holies. Then, carrying a censer of burning incense and a bowl of animal blood, he would disappear behind the curtain into the presence of God. There, the smoke from the incense would protect him by partially obscuring the holy Ark of the Covenant from his sight. He would sprinkle some of the animal blood on the atonement cover before coming back out to the waiting people. All of this was to make atonement for the sins of the Israelites. Moses put it this way to them, "On this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then, before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins." Remember this signpost, then, the high priest offering blood to deal with sins and bring moral cleansing. What a remarkable scenario all this was. Think about it. A bunch of far-from-perfect people trekking through a Middle Eastern desert, carrying a portable place of worship where God lived, at least in a localized sense. A people with their God at the centre. The tent of meeting was, we might say, the meeting place of heaven, God's dimension, and earth, humanity's dimension. It was a small-scale representation of God's eternal desire to have a far bigger, worldwide people among whom he could live and whose company he could enjoy, just as they could enjoy his. The tabernacle travelled with the Israelites throughout the 40 years it took them to reach the Promised Land. They had other indications of God's presence with them too. Throughout their travels, they enjoyed his guidance, manifested in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Awesome stuff. Their journey had its serious ups and downs, but in due course, they made it. They crossed the border, the River Jordan, near Jericho, and over the coming years conquered the local Canaanite inhabitants to make the land their own. The tabernacle was given a more permanent pitch, and life in the land began to settle down into a steady pattern. After such a checkered history, the people felt that, at last, life would take a turn for the better. It did, and it didn't.